life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, the liars, shall all have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We're not going to do that this week, but we will come to it. This is a glimpse of the future that is promised to us, to those who love Jesus. Do you believe that? So the big question to us this morning is, is it really profitable for me to set my mind on the future? Do I just become like an airhead, or does it change everything in my life? And I would argue that it's the latter. My answer would be, in fact, if God has set up every blessing imaginable for us, and that's what it says here, if God has set up every blessing imaginable for us, what else or who else can hold a candle to it? Nothing, I would say. When Paul says to the Philippians, your citizenship is in heaven, he wasn't denying that they were part of the Roman Empire, that they were part of, you know, the city of Philippi. He wasn't denying any of those things, any less than he's not denying that we are actually citizens of Selby. But what he was saying is this: already, now, your identity, where you are, is with Christ on high. That is the promise for us now. It's not just something in the future. It is what we can receive now. And he says, to have this hope, or to have this mind, helps us to escape the grip of earthly things. So we had a men's meeting only yesterday morning. And we gathered together. There's only about 8 or 9 of us, actually. But we were asked, so then, what effect has coronavirus had on you? And we went round almost one by one saying what the effect was and what it had done. And I have to say, it was mainly a very negative thing. The conclusion was that we came to was that actually, if we look towards Christ, things would change, which is good and fits in nicely with this morning. But I come across so many people. I have to say that Angela has to remind me on a regular basis, keep looking to the things above, where Christ is seated, not to the, oh, the R-rating is going up in Preston. Well, Pam and Clive from Preston, we have a heart for people in Preston. We know people in Bradford, we know people in Manchester, we know people all over, and our heart goes out to them. But by focusing on the negative, oh, it's going up, that's not going to do us any good. We've got to focus on the things that God has called us to do. And if you want to escape the grip of idolatry, which we've spoken about quite a bit over the weeks, and the passing pleasures of the world, we need to set our mind on the things above. How on earth do you get beyond the negatives and the disasters and the atrocities and the injustice? I mean, devastating. We're going to pray in the next meeting about this Beirut situation. Absolute nightmare. Where again, a certain group of people have seemingly kept hidden from their countrymen, their people, their subjects, if you like, that they've stacked up this literally a ticking time bomb for 6 or 7 years, seemingly to drive up the prices of fertilizer in the agricultural industry so they can get more money from it. Well, farmers are crying out, they can't grow the crops, they're crying out for it, and here they have it stacked up in a big store. Let's just keep it another year and the price will go up and we'll all make ourselves rich. Then all of a sudden, boom. It's absolutely scandalous. How long do we have to suffer those things? But looking to the things above gives us the strength, I believe, to endure present sufferings if we'll meditate on the things above. I have to say, considering Paul in prison, in the New Testament, How did Paul man up? Some people don't like that word man up. I hear people saying now, oh, don't say man up. That's a terrible expression. I want to tell you, he had to man up. He was in prison, in chains, it said. Several times he was beaten to within an inch, literally, of his life. One time it seems that he went up into heavenly places because he was kind of between life and death. And he comes back and he says, I know a man once who went up into and saw certain things. And yet, what was he doing in prison? Praising God. How did he do that? He looked at the things set before him. He looked at the things above. He looked towards the promises that had been given in Christ. Promises that we've got loads of here that Paul perhaps didn't have the opportunity to understand or to know. And guys, it's so important that we look towards things. So we did have to man up. And we've got to bring our earthly adversity into a comparison of a biblical truth. That is exactly, it's so important for us to do that. And I believe that it's only while we look into the future that the present changes. You believe that? Okay, verse 1. Verse 1, oh dear me. Okay, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Oh my word, no more sea. Paul and Sonia have just had a week by the sea. I'm sure they really enjoyed that. But notice it says this passing away. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Why? Because the first heaven and the first earth, that's now, had passed away. It's very important to understand that it doesn't pass away so that we'll have some kind of spiritual existence. It won't pass away so that we will be like disembodied spirits or souls floating about in the ether somewhere. We will not. We won't be souls without a body. It is true that the old heaven and the old earth gave way to a new heaven and a new earth. And reading the commentaries, the experts, the brainy people ask themselves, well, was it completely new, or was it just like a refurb? Well, God doesn't cut corners. But I actually think, having considered it, that it's kind of a combination of both. And this is why I believe that. Because it says our present bodies will be gloriously transformed. We're told that right through the New Testament, that our present bodies will be gloriously transformed into a new body. Some of us long for that already. But whilst our bodies will be transformed into a new body, it is true, I believe, that we'll still be recognizable as who we are. And so although everything will be new, when we'll get a new resurrection body, a new renewed body, whatever that'll be like, I said, God, how can he make me any better? But somehow I'm going to be better than I even am now. Whoa, Angela can't believe it. But I think, you know, there's something about that where we are gloriously transformed. So we'll still be recognizable. So I think there'll be, it's the same with the earth and the heavens. There'll be something of that old order which is still recognizable. So I think a lot of it will be still similar. We'll still have glorious mountains. We'll still have wonderful valleys. And it says there, there'll be no sea. But I'll say something about that in a minute. But of course, our new bodies will also be free from disease and wear and tear and various afflictions. But we'll still be the same individuals. I'm not going to get to heaven. My name is written down in the book of life. I'm sure it's written down as Dave Ward. Okay? So when we get to heaven, God is going to know who I am. I'm not going to get to heaven and then God is going to say, welcome, you were Dave Ward. But now you're going to be Bert the woodcutter. You know, And Angela is going to be She-Ra, Queen of the Forest. If you don't know where that joke comes from, you have to go home and put on YouTube The Great Outdoors with John Candy. The first 10 minutes, there's something about Bert the Woodcutter, and yeah, it's fantastic. So we'll not be somebody new. We'll be known and recognized for who we are. But some things won't continue. Now, it does say there, there'll be no sea. I'm sure Sonia and Paul think, having come back from this, there'll be no more sea in heaven. Well, we'll be able to sit and listen to the waves crashing in and all those kind of things. Don't panic. Again, we know that so much of Revelation has been symbolic. It's about symbols of things with various different meanings that are not exact. They're not exact representations. It's John speaking about symbolism and the prophetic and the apocalyptic. Okay? And I think this is something the same. We've said in various verses, in various chapters, chapter 13, it said that one of the beasts was stood in the sea, and one of the beasts was stood on the land, and then they were sorted out by God. And we said there, if you remember, that actually the sea in ancient times was seen as a place of evil and chaos, because we know about the sea raging. I mean, we know about the sea and its tranquility. That's the bit that we enjoy. But we don't understand, by having to spend a lot of time at sea, that actually the sea can be a tumultuous, dangerous place to be about in. And I think what John is talking about here is that actually, again, this is kind of symbolic. All the chaos that the sea depicted, all the evil, and in ancient days they said that there were gods in the sea, and that they, you know, came up and, you know, showed themselves and raged against the land and all these kind of things. All those things that rage and cause chaos and all the evil that is set against God will be gone. That will all disappear. But the sea properly will not disappear. So if you love the sea, don't panic. It was just a representation of evil. But all those things that are in opposition to God and his people will be gone. Now, next week, we're going to look at what we will see and what our experience will be there. Okay? Because I've got to finish. Okay, let's pray. Father, we just want to say thank you so much for all these wonderful promises set before us. We thank you that Paul and Peter and John and others have exhorted us to set our minds on the things above. And we pray that if any application is taken from this morning, that that is what we'll do. Instead of looking at the negativity of the world around us, particularly in these days of COVID-19, Lord, we want to set our eyes on you, the one who contains all the promises, all the hope in Christ Jesus. And we thank you that Revelation celebrates that, particularly as we come to these last two chapters. And we want to see that as a reality, Lord. Not just as an interesting story, not just something that John saw and wrote down. He wrote it down for our benefit. He wrote it down so that we might know that there is a hope that is set before us. And so we pray that we will be compelled to consider those things for your glory. Amen. Thank you so much, guys. If you're on this side, you can make your way out down that side.